My Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, you can go to Malachi, the third chapter. I'll be there in just a moment. And we're in our series entitled Generosity. Everybody say generosity. And so I've just been so excited about teaching this lesson. It's a giving lesson for us. And I believe that, or I should say, I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Has it been a blessing to you? All right, good. It's been a blessing to five of y'all. All right. And so will you always hear me say that giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper your life. If you've been a Christian long enough and plenty of years, you may have been somewhere and seen games play, but it still does not take away from the fact that giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper your life. To the degree that you do it on purpose, out of principle, you will see amazing things happen in your life. We also said that giving was a matter of the heart. Isn't that right? And so we begin to understand that. I want to talk to you from Malachi 3. Of course, I've given you tithing verses, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, before the law, during the law, after the law. I think you have a good understanding of that. And as I was really just asking God what he wanted me to talk about and share with you all on today, I wanted to kind of go through Malachi 3 just a little bit. And I want to talk to you, before I give you the title, as I give you this title, it's not what you think it's going to be. I want to talk to you from the subject today of don't rob God. Everybody say, don't rob God. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you where we're going, because I don't want to have you just wondering. And I get it. Most of us, you know, we said, well, of course, Malachi says, don't rob God because you're not bringing the tithe and the offering. And that is true. And that's theologically correct. But let me give you another way to look at this as it relates to why we should bring our tithes and our offerings into the local church or the storehouse. Let's look at it today as don't rob God. And you say, what do you mean don't rob God? Don't rob God of the opportunity to bless you. Because every time you bring the first and every time you give offerings, you give God an opportunity to bless you. Does that make sense? Amen. And so I want to kind of look at it that way. Thank God for good revelation. Amen. Thank God for a good pastor that really studies the word of God. Amen. And so let's go to Malachi 3 and 8. Let's go to Malachi 3 and 8, because I wanted to really put this whole thing together. And so it says, will a man rob God? Watch this. And I like to add that the rest of it, of an opportunity to bless him or her. Yet you have robbed me of an opportunity to bless you. But you say, in what way have we robbed you of an opportunity to bless us? Is it kind of coming together for you? And then he says, how? In tithes and in offerings. Now, let me stop there and just kind of make a comment, especially for all my note takers, to get you to understand that God did not invent tithing for his benefit. He invented tithing for our benefit, all right? Like, you know, we understand, I think, was it Tuesday night? We showed you how God is a supernatural God. When Elijah went to the widow woman, he did not send Elijah to the widow woman so the widow woman could take care of Elijah. He sent Elijah to the widow woman so God could take care of the widow woman, give her an opportunity to put God at the top of the list so he could take care of the rest of her list. We saw that in Scripture, because I took you and showed you that before, ravens were coming and bringing him flesh and bread, and he was at the brook, right? And then even after that, the angel brought him cake, and we said it's the will of God that you bring the man of God cake, because men of God like cake, and it's okay for men of God to eat. Okay, all right. I don't know where I was going with that. And so the angel brought him cake, which was actually the first angel food cake in the Bible. And so anyways, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And remember, we said the word curse means consequence, right? He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And if you remember the very, I think, first time we begin to talk about how there's spiritual food that is in the house. And, you know, and one thing we love here about WLCC is that we're fed good, wholesome, spiritual food of the Word of God, that God gives pastor a good revelation. Amen. It's not dry. It's not dull. It's not boring. Right. All right. I'm just playing. But it's alive. And it's something that makes you leave out and say, man, I'm so glad I came to church on this one. Let me stop. He says, and try me or prove me. And that word means test me. This is the only place in scripture that God says you can test him. He says, try me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. All right. Now, when I operate in this principle, watch this. There's a blessing that comes on me. I operate in the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. The blessing is singular. You got it? And when you operate in the blessing, it'll bring all the blessings that you ever need. Because when you understand and look through this and understand what he means about that, you know, the blessing will come upon you. The anointing to prosper will come upon you. And it is that anointing to prosper or that blessing that will bring all the other blessings that you need. All right? And so he says, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Two things I want to talk about here. On Tuesday night, we talked about two things that the tithe does. When we bring the first, when we bring tithe, when we bring offering, that it provides for us and it also protects us. All right? Open the windows of heaven, provision. Rebuke the devourer, protection. Does that make sense? So everybody say provide and protect. All right. And then notice he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so this is why you've got to understand that tithing is for you and it's not for God. What do you mean by that? Tithing is for me. No. God created this as a benefit. It is a benefit for you. But God created this for you and not for him so he can bless you. Because if you notice, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake and not for the kingdom's sake. All right. So this is just as absolutely for you. He says, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You see how this is personal to you. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. So this is all about you, that giving is not a game, that it is God's plan to prosper our lives. And God created this system of giving tithes and offerings because he says, I don't want you to rob me of the opportunity to bless you. You got it. And so he wants us to put him at the top of our list. And he says, if you put me at the top of your list, I'll take care of the rest of your list. And I don't know about you, but I need God to take care of all of my list because I got a long list. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, one thing about the law of attraction and leadership and that kind of thing is you attract who you are. You got it. I'm a man of integrity. I think I attract people of integrity, but I'm also a big dreamer. And I think I attract people that are big dreamers and believe God for big things. People that say, God can do absolutely anything but fail. Even if I'm in a place that I really don't want to be in, I know how to leave the discomfort of my present and visit my future on the canvas of my imagination of what my life is going to be like. And I see, watch this, I see greater days ahead. I see days of peace. I see days of prosperity. I see days of joy. So my praise is not based on where I am, but where God is going to take me because I'm a dreamer and God's going to do some amazing things in my life. Does that make sense to anybody in the room? But how many know it takes faith to believe that way? It takes faith in a culture where people say, "Oh, you don't take all that. You don't have to believe God." Yes, you do. Yeah. And so God wants to put us at the top of his list so he can take care of the rest of ours. Why does God want me to put him at the top of his list? At the end of the day, he wants our heart. And where a man's heart is, there is his treasure also. Isn't that right? All right, and so he says, so the whole title, I think you got it now, is Don't Rob God of the opportunity for him to bless you. All right, one of our members' house burnt down. We've kind of talked about that several weeks, and we were able to be a blessing to her. And we gave her a check for $5,000. And if you remember, when the Holy Spirit first kind of said something to me about it during that week, I was just praying about it. I was like, okay, you know, we'll just write her a check, you know, and we'll just, you know, take care of her mortgage. You got it? And then the Lord says, no, I want you to let everybody get in on it. So we gave you an opportunity to give a free will offering. Everybody say free will. So no one said you had to do it, but we gave you an opportunity to give you, we gave you an opportunity to give a free will offering. Well, Pastor, why did you switch? And just, you know, why do you think God said, well, no, don't just write the check, but get everybody the opportunity to give? Because watch this, when you gave into that, you automatically put yourself in a position that God now had an opportunity to bless you back. Does that make sense? All right. All right, so there are three categories of giving in the Bible. Now, when you really understand the Bible, there are three categories of giving in the Bible. The first one we see are tithe. We've talked about tithe, pretty good, and so I'll hit it kind of a little bit, and then I'll go into the next two. So when we tithe, we give God the opportunity to bless us. Go with me to Joshua 6:18. Joshua 6:18. Now, Joshua 6 is when they were going into the promised land, and this is the first city, Jericho. Y'all remember the first city, Jericho? All right, and so let's pick it up right there in verse 18. I'll read to you verse 18 and 19. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed thing. Remember, we kind of talked about, you know, that we went to the scripture talking about the tithe is the accursed thing. It's set apart, it's holy, and that kind of thing. So this should just refresh your memory. So lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed thing. And make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are what class? Consecrated or set apart to the Lord, all right? They shall not come in to the treasury of the Lord. He is referring to the tithe. Jericho was the first city. So he was referring to the first, and he says, I want the first. He's referring to the tithe because the tithe is the first 10% and not the last 10%, because it doesn't take faith to give the last 10%, but it takes faith to give the first. It takes faith if you have 10 $100 bills that you say, okay, number one, this belongs to God. Now I'll use this for mortgage, and I'll use this for daycare. And it takes faith to do that. You got a lot of people say, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. Whew, there's enough for God. And God says, I don't want it because I don't take leftovers. Does that make sense? And why does God not take leftovers? Because God didn't give us leftovers. Remember, we talked on last week that Jesus was God's firstborn, but he was also God's first fruit. So Jesus was God's tithe. God gave Jesus in hope or in faith that we would repent before we ever repented. So Jericho was the first city. So when they went into the first city and they won the battle and they took the spoils and did not give them to God, when they went to the next city, remember, they lost the battle. And Joshua says, this doesn't make sense. When Moses died, he says, you told me, as you were with Moses, shall you be with me, that you won't leave me, that you won't forsake me. This doesn't make any sense. He says, no, but go back to Joshua and remember everything I told you. I told you that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it there day and night to do all that is according in it. And part of what's in it is that if you bring me the first, then I'll bless the rest. Does that make sense? That was good revelation. I don't even know if you got that. All right. So it's consecrated when it's brought to the house of the Lord. It's cursed when it stays in your tent as it relates to Achan or into your bank account. All right. So that's the tithe. That's the tithe. All right. So now let's go to the second category. There's offerings. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you what all three of them are, and we'll just kind of flow through them. There's tithes, there's offerings, and then there's extravagant offerings. Everybody say tithe, offerings, and extravagant offerings. So I called a pastor friend of mine who is, got a super huge church, and he's just really knows the word. And if I want to talk to somebody that I think would understand something, or I have even a question myself, he's the guy that I would talk to. And so I talked to him. I said, man, do you know that there are really, when you begin to understand the word of God, there's three categories of giving. You got it. There's tithes, there's offering, and there's extravagant. He said, yeah, I know. He said, but I just call them tithes, offerings, and painful offerings. Because the extravagant offering is really a sacrificial offering, all right? So we knocked out tithe. Let's go to offerings. Malachi 3 and 8. Let's bring that up again because I want to show you something that I don't know about you, but I've always had a question about this. God, he helped me with this, but I always had a question about this. It says in 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, in where have we robbed you? He says, in tithe and okay, so he says tithe and offering. And so, we have, well, let's not even get into that. So, you know, I really talk to God because, I get it. If God says do something, you should do it. Makes sense, you know, to obey is the right thing to do. If I'm willing and obedient, I eat the good of the land. If I obey and serve him, I'll spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasure. So I have no problem with that. I'm a super huge offering giver. You got it? My tithe, that's not a problem. I give offerings, but I give way over and above that. But I did have a conversation with God, and I said, well, we know that, Lord, we know that the tithe belongs to you because you specifically say that the tithe belongs to you. You got it? And Leviticus 27 and 30, just for proof text, and all the tithe of the lamb, whether the seed of the lamb or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So we know that it belongs to God, right? And so we know that it is set apart. And so I said, Lord, the tithe belongs to you, but offering all through it, you always said that they were free will. But you said that we robbed you in giving tithe and offering. Like, that's like a good question, isn't that? Yeah, because like there's a lot of people like, oh, I'm going to give my tithe. I ain't not going to give no offering, but I'm going to give my tithe. But I always had a problem with that scripture because he says, no, you robbed me in tithe and in offering. And when I was in my younger days of ministry, I really, I would say, people would ask me, I would say, well, because God always called for offerings in the word of God, through his men of God, through David and through Moses, they would stand up and say, the Lord said, bring an offering. And the people would just automatically do what God said. So we know that it's in the word of God, but we live in a culture where we're very intellectual and we have questions. And people ask me these questions. So, Lord, I need to know these answers. All right? And so then the Lord really kind of broke it down for me. So this is the bottom line. This is kind of how God explained it to me, all right? He said, first of all, son, he says, when it comes to the opportunity for me to bless you, it's in tithe and in offering, all right? He says, but I want you to understand, he says, that you don't have a choice to give the tithe. The tithe belongs to me. All right. When you give offerings over and above the first, which really belongs to me, it really shows your heart or an attitude of gratitude. So offerings are what we do over and above out of an attitude of gratitude, which produces the favor of God to show up in our lives. Because when we give, watch this now, we are simply giving God back what belongs to him. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. I want to show you something. Joy, you got any cash on you? No cash? No cash? Somebody loan her a dollar. Like, you ain't got no cash. Oh, nobody has cash? Nobody on the front row has cash? Secure give? Okay. All right, she has a dollar. All right. All right. Can I have the dollar? Okay, thank you. All right. So, you can sit down right now, all right? Because she's like, well, should I stand? Because I want my dollar back, right? And so, who gave you this dollar? Now, does she need to give this back to you? No? So, you gave her the dollar? So, it's her dollar? Her dollar, okay, all right, okay. And so watch this. So, this dollar that Joy gave me, watch this now. I'm going to use this as, let's say this is, watch this, this is Joy's. It belongs to Joy. It doesn't belong to me. So if I keep this, I'm cursed. But if I give it back to Joy, I'll be blessed because it don't belong to me, all right? It belongs to Joy. Does that make sense? So watch this. So if I say, here you go, Joy, and I say thank you, watch this. I have now just given her back what belongs to her. And that's the right thing to do. And yes, I will be blessed because I did the right thing. Does that make sense? Let me have that dollar back, Joy. But if I say I'm going to take this dollar and I'm going to add $40 to it, right? Now, I give that to Joy, right? And Joy, you can have the $40. Even though this is an example, I want you to keep it. You can do whatever you want to do with that money, right? You got it? Do you think that made Joy happy? Why did that make Joy happy? You can sit down, Joy. Why did that make Joy happy? Because she got more, right? Let me ask you a question. Do you think if I ever asked Joy to bless me again with something else that she would not gladly give right back to me? The same thing is with tithes and offering. When I give the tithe, it belongs to God. But when I give over and above, it's out of a attitude of gratitude that, God, I thank you for everything you've done. So I'm going to give you what's yours, but I'm going to put some on top. And the thing about God is he set up a system. I got to calm down because I'm getting happy. He set up a system that there's never anything you can do for him will he will not do for you in a greater measure. So even though we give out of the, watch this, out of the goodness of our heart and out of gratitude, and watch this, that getting back is not our motive. It is the benefit. And God says, I want you to expect the benefit. Does that make sense? All right. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. That'll preach? All right. I'm waiting on everybody else to get excited. I hope y'all got that. All right. 9 and 6. Remember this. Do what? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, I think we need to go back. If I sow sparingly, Joy, let me hold on to that money for a second. So stay right here. She said, oh, yeah, that's mine. He done told me it's mine. He is a man of integrity. He is not taking that money back, all right? So watch this. So now, watch this. If this belongs to her, watch this, and watch this. And I'm just like, Pastor said, I got to give tithe. I mean, Pastor says we should give offering too out of attitude of gratitude, something like that. I don't even know what he said. I'm just, Guess what's going to happen to me? Watch this. Because giving is a matter of the heart. And that's why I'm trying to teach this to you in a way that when you give with the right attitude. Right? Because your attitude, you got it, connects with your faith that causes the supernatural power of God to show up in your life. All right? Watch what it says. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and, all right? And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. The Bible teaches me, taught me in Luke, the way I measure it out is the way it's going to be measured back to me. You got it? And so I have to have the right attitude. All right? Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Now, and theologians say this, preachers have said this, that we use this as an offering scripture. And it really makes sense. Why? Because you can't make up your mind if you want to give the tithe. Right, right. Y'all talk back to me. Y'all so quiet today. But you can't make up your mind if you want to give it. The tithe belongs to the Lord. So about 21 years ago, when the first person I ever heard said, this is an offering scripture, I was like, but I get it. Because it says, let each one give as he has made him. I'm going to purpose in my heart above the tithe from the offering to give over and above out of a grateful heart so I can see the favor of God show up in my life. He says, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Let me tell you what that means. Not reluctantly, like I did with Joy, or sorrowfully, or under compulsion. Means that pastor, you know, or somebody made you give. When we had tithes and offering, did you feel any pressure? No. You got it. As long as you've been coming to this church, have you felt any pressure? No. You know, it's amazing, you know, because our church is doing so well and that kind of thing. You'll hear a little thing. Yeah, them folk, they, you know, somebody called and asked Pastor Pat. They wanted to visit the church. Say, I heard that they make you turn in your W-2s. I'm like, don't worry about that. That's just silly, all right? That's just silly, all right? Yeah, praise the Lord. And I ain't lying because I'm sitting right here telling you, Pastor Pat's right here. He's like, man, you ain't going to believe this. I said, no, my pastor taught me years ago to believe everything. all things are possible. All right? And so watch this now. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. So nobody makes me do it. I do it out of a willing heart. All right. The reason I'm teaching this series, number one, I haven't taught on giving in a year, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So watch this. When I teach on giving the right way from scripture, it will release faith in your heart that, no, this is God's plan to prosper my life, that when I release what's in my hand, he'll release what's in his, and his hands are bigger than mine. Oh, this is good right here. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. For God loves, he does what? He takes pleasure in. He does what? He prizes above other things. I look at this in a line with what I've been saying. He says, okay, let me read the whole thing. He prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do a giver whose heart is in his giving. So when I give with the right attitude, God says that he prizes above other things. I look at God as having a list of things, and God's got me at the top of the list because I'm a cheerful giver. Does that make sense? Right. And watch this. Anytime, I just don't have enough time to teach all this, so I ain't even going to try to rush it. Just play something soft, because I am, you know, because we pick it up on Tuesday night. Isn't that right? You know, you got to talk about the extravagant offering, because, man, there's some awesome things. When Solomon, just throw something out there and we'll pick it up on Tuesday, but when Solomon becomes king after his father David, it is customary that the king has to go and give one sacrifice. You know, sacrifice of a bull. His heart is so right. He says, God, I'm going to give you 1,000 sacrifices in one night. That night he goes to sleep. And God says, what do you want? And Solomon's just like shocked that God is just showing up. And then he said, well, God, I just need wisdom, because this new position I'm in, my daddy used to be king. It's one thing to be the king's kid, but it's another thing to be the king. And he's like, I need wisdom to be able to manage so great a people. And God says, well, because you have not asked for riches, and you've not asked for favor, and you've not asked for your enemies to be defeated, all these, he says, I'm going to give you what you asked for, wisdom. But because I'm a generous God, because you were generous, I'm going to give you over and above. Because you brought an extravagant offering or a sacrifice, I came to see what you wanted. And even when I came to see what you wanted, you asked for the right thing. But I'm still going to give you, watch this, royalty and riches and favor that no king will ever have. Why? Because he had an attitude of gratitude. He had the right heart. So do you kind of get now why he says in tithe and in offerings? Y'all kind of get that? All right. So anytime we see in scripture, we'll see a principle, and a lot of times you'll see a promise behind the scripture. The Bible's full of prophecy, promises, and principles. For every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, there's a faith process to bring it to pass, because the will of God is not automatic, so there's something I have to do. So watch this. We'll see the principle, which is you're supposed to bring, you know, the offering, and you bring it a certain way. You got it? You bring it with the right attitude. You be generous with it and that kind of thing. But watch the promise in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. In the KJV, it says to make all grace abound toward you. So giving causes me to tap into the all-sufficient grace of God. All right? And let me hear you something. Let me explain something. Giving is not just about getting money back. Getting puts me in covenant with God. And yes, he'll take care of my financial situation, but he'll take care of my children. He'll take care of my marriage. He'll take care of, you know, my health. Why? Because giving puts me in covenant with God. That is why he said in the beginning of Malachi, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. You got, in other words, I made a covenant with your great, great, great granddaddy, and I'm still that same God. He said, you moved away from it, but I haven't moved away from it. He said, I'll make all grace abound toward you. I'll make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always, it's the will of God for you to always have. I don't care what nobody tells you. Don't you ever listen to someone say, well, sometimes in life you're going to be between blessings. Faith comes by hearing. And I don't want you to hear that. You just don't receive it. You ain't got to fight with somebody, but don't receive. It's the will of God for you to always have, if you're a giver, all sufficiency in all things. He says that you may always have, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God says it's the will of God that you get to the point that you can take care of all of your bills, that you can put money, you know, that you can put money over. Because I'm not even saying tithes and offerings, because we already know now that that comes at the top. So I'm talking about that. After that, take care of my bills, put some money in my 401k, have some money in my savings, and still have a grip left over. That way, if I see that someone's in need, I'm able just to bless that person. If I see some, you know, if I hear about something, you know, I can just do whatever it is that I need to do. That is where God wants every person in this room. And it's not based on anything but you being obedient to his word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. Know it was a good seed.